This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by The Ben Shapiro Show, heard weeknights at 6, right after this show, right here on KTTH. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? National.
Obviously, everyone is still talking about and will continue to talk about the massacre yesterday in Uvalde, Texas, where, unfortunately, we have to update the numbers. One additional student had been pronounced dead after we got off the air yesterday. 21 victims in total. On top of that, the shooter, who has had his name corrected to Ramos, not Romas, as was originally put out there, he also died, Salvador Ramos, shot by a Border Patrol agent who was shot himself in this response to the shooting. As we told you was going to happen yesterday, everyone on one side gets very political. Everyone on the other side has to respond to the political, which makes them political. And we have a tendency to lose eye of what we should be talking about in non-political ways, which is there anything that can be done to stop things like this from happening in the future? That is a reasonable and on its face, on the surface, it is not a political question. It doesn't require a political response. We've talked about some of the things that we know can help from a security standpoint at these so-called soft targets, like schools that don't have security mitigation policies from an architectural standpoint, from an infrastructure standpoint, for example. One point of entrance, fencing, security, armed security on site. None of those conversations are really taking place. You have some people who are pointing them out, rightly so. But the Democrats right now, as they tend to do after mass tragedies like this, the ones that include guns, not the ones that happen almost every day in Chicago or Oakland, not those. Those are not the right kinds of shootings. They don't really care as much about those. They can't go after guns the way that they can when you have a mass shooting. And there's no doubt, of course, that when you lose so many young children murdered by a monster, you're going to get people who rightly are passionate and want something to be done immediate. In the immediate, it's an emotional issue. You should never make serious decisions when you are very, very, very upset and emotional. That is the worst possible time. But we hear from folks on the left, like Senator Chris Murphy, who has never seen a shooting that he can't turn into grandstanding on the Senate floor with his speeches where he almost breaks down. He passionately talks to the other side and demands to them, when will you do something? What can I say to get you to finally do something on gun control? And then he goes on MSNBC and he makes statements like this.
I don't accept the idea that I'm supposed to shut up and not talk about changing the laws of this country to protect my kids in the wake of one of these shootings. I actually think I have an obligation in these moments to be even more
political,
urgent
political
in my outreach to my colleagues, because these are copycat killings, because I know that the next one is coming around the corner.
Now, I don't know if this was a copycat killing. I have no idea. Neither does he, but he's not going to let the facts get in the way of a good talking point. Now, there's no doubt that there is concern and should be concern about copycat actions. But I'm looking at the three Facebook posts he made immediately before this shooting, Ramos. And the first one said, I'm going to shoot my grandmother, which he did. The second one said, I shot my grandmother. The third one, about 15 minutes before getting to Robb Elementary, he wrote, I'm going to shoot an elementary school. Now, according to the authorities at this moment, they haven't found anything in his background that was criminal, anything in his background that was tied to known mental health issues. Clearly, he has a mental health issue. What that is, I don't know. But clearly he has one. He just hasn't been treated for it. So then the question becomes, well, could something have been done to stop this? I don't know the answer. Neither do they. They simply say, well, we got to make sure he doesn't get a gun. Because someone who is hell-bent on committing this kind of destruction against children who are always vulnerable apparently won't find a way to do that otherwise. But Senator Chris Murphy, and I'm sure you've seen some of the video yesterday, and who's the coach who spoke out, who always speaks out?
Steve Kerr.
I'm sure people saw that because he slammed his hand on the table at this press conference, which means he is very passionate about this, and he is so sick and tired of having to have these conversations. Again, don't really hear him having those conversations about the deaths that happen every single day, nearly, in Chicago. Never hear that. Now, maybe, has he done that ever? Maybe, I don't know. I haven't seen any of that. It certainly hasn't gone viral. But understand that when they say it's time to do something, who is in control of the Senate?
The left.
Okay. Who is in control of the House?
The left.
Who is in control of the White House?
The left.
Have they proposed anything? No. In fact, today, Chuck Schumer comes out and says, I'm not going to advance any gun control legislation. Well, why not? Why wouldn't you? You have all the control. We're being told that we just need more, quote unquote, reasonable gun control laws. What those reasonable laws are, haven't heard any. Haven't heard any specifics. I just hear the nebulously defined reasonable gun control measures. He's choosing not to move forward with it. And he said, according to The Hill, that he doesn't have enough Republican support, so he's not going to put it forward because it's not going to pass. And that's interesting. Do you remember the bill that was pushed forward 2 weeks ago that he didn't have any support for on the right and was going to lose Senator Manchin? Do you remember what that bill was? It had to do with abortion. And what did it do in that radical bill on abortion? It legalized abortion up until 9 months. So he put forward a very radical bill that was not going to pass because it was politically expedient for him to do so. It earned him some political points. Right now, he's not going to put anything forward under this specious argument because not doing anything specifically means they can continue to say that the Republicans are blocking things and the Republicans don't care about your children because if they're not going to support our bills anyway, and you know what they say about people who don't support our bills, it must mean they want more dead kids. That is their argument. Which is odd because we have Representative Veronica Escobar, the Democrat from Texas, who was on MSNBC pretending we don't regulate guns at all in this country.
As a country, our values should be that we make communities safer, just like we regulate tobacco.
Just real quick, and you know, I'll let her finish this dumpster fire bad faith argument. Which party was responsible for the defund movement? Which party was responsible for policies that still right now release criminals, pay for their bail indiscriminately, releasing them from jail, putting them into restorative justice programs that don't actually work, even when they're violent? Which party is that? Yes, it's the party that is currently lecturing us about keeping communities safe. That's the party. They didn't give a damn up until this moment about all the damage that they have been doing to our communities, but now they are lecturing us.
Communities safer, just like we regulate tobacco, just like we regulate alcohol, just like we regulate roadways. Guns should be no different. It's time.
Okay. You know that we do regulate guns, right? I know that you want to pretend that we don't, which is ludicrous. You can argue we should do more in regulation on a state-by-state level. Okay, fine. We can have those conversations, right? You can make a proposal on what we should do. But in a lot of cases, their real proposal is just to ban guns. For some of them, they'll say it. For others, they won't, because it's so much easier than proposing something that is A, constitutional, and B, will actually do something. What's easier is just demonizing the other side. Demonizing the other side. How many times did we see just in the last 24 hours on Twitter, the hot takes? You're in the pocket of NRA. You've got blood on your hands. No, I don't. You just want to protect your guns. Even if it means dead kids, you laugh at the idea of get dead kids. No, I don't own any guns, and I think what happened was disturbing. I actually want to come up with some solutions, and there's some non-controversial solutions. Again, is there anyone out there who is saying that one point of entry into a school is a controversial idea, that we shouldn't be doing it? I haven't heard any of those voices. Now, maybe you'll find one or two of them on Twitter, because you can find pretty much everything on Twitter. I haven't heard anyone talking about that in a negative way. Okay, well, how about that? We just built a bridge. How about we figure out how we can implement that at every single school across the country? Why can't we do that? Because, again, it is easier to say the other person on the other side of your gun proposal that you have, gun legislation that you haven't actually made, they just want to see dead kids, which then makes them not want to work with you. Which, by the way, I can't say I blame them. When we come back, we'll take you into the Beto O'Rourke disaster, this PR stunt, embarrassing, just so loathsome what happened today. Find me on Twitter, twitter.com/JasonRants, twitter.com/JasonRants. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? National.
Beto O'Rourke is running for governor in Texas. He is a vile, despicable, loathsome human being who is a hypocrite, who wants you to believe he is not what he said he was before, which was a gun grabber, someone who would exploit over and over and over again any tragedy that he could. So, of course, today he goes ahead and does just that. He decides that he's going to show up to the press conference with Governor Abbott, with the local mayor, with the local sheriff, other law enforcement officials. And he decides to make a spectacle because he wants to make this about him. He sees this as an opportunity to get some media coverage for his failing campaign. He is a loser, Beto O'Rourke. He will be a loser at the end of this election yet again. But he is not above turning someone else's tragedy, a community's tragedy, into a PR stunt. Now, I'm not going to pretend that I'm not biased in this. I don't like Beto O'Rourke. I don't like his politics, and I'm obviously pro-Second Amendment. So to me, what I'm about to play you is disturbing. I wonder if for the person who's down the middle, kind of sees it both ways, I understand why there's calls for gun control. I don't necessarily think we should ban all guns. We want it to be reasonable. That person, that independent, I wonder if they found this to be tasteful.
Pass the mic to Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
Excuse me.
Sit down.
You're out of line and an embarrassment.
Hey. Yep.
Sit down and don't play this stuff.
Ted Cruz. Is right now and
you are doing nothing. No, he needs to get his ass out of here. This isn't a place to talk this over. This is totally
predictable when you... Sir, you're out of line. Sir, you're out of line. Sir, you're out of line. Please leave this auditorium.
Now that, by the way, is Lieutenant Chris Oliveras.
I can't believe you're a sick son of a bitch that would come to a deal like this to make a political issue.
Disgusting. That is disgusting. But it's very much in line with the sort of the Twitter sphere of I'm going to make everything about me. My hot take. Yesterday, as I pointed out, I have a general rule that I don't get into the political, I don't make the political arguments. I'll respond to political arguments, I guess, during a tragedy. But I try to actually just cover what happened and why, based on what we know at the time. I try to stay out of the political stuff. It's easier when it's not me on an on-air day, no doubt. But this is someone who leans into the opposite of what I try to do, which is just for the day, let's try to collect some facts and make it about the victims. He wants to make this about himself. He wants to make it about himself. He is not just a narcissist. He sounds like a psychopath. This is the stunt of a psychopath. Not merely a narcissist. All politicians, for the most part, are narcissists. This is disturbing. And then, of course, he talks to reporters outside.
50th in the nation in mental health care access. 50th. There are only 50 states in the nation. We are dead last. The number one provider of mental health care services under Greg Abbott in the state of Texas is the county jail system in the state of Texas.
It almost sounds like a political speech, like one he would give in front of a crowd of 14 of his supporters. That is a political speech. He could have said everything except the Governor Greg Abbott part and then pivot to an actual plan. And we could say, okay, I can appreciate his passion. Don't like him going ahead and disrupting a press conference, you shameful monster. But it would at least be slightly less political. But he wants to go after Greg Abbott because that is the political opponent of his.
He's refused to support safe storage laws so young people cannot get their hands on their parents' guns. He's refused to support a ban on AR-15s.
And by the way, this is the guy who I believe said, I don't want to ban AR-15s. Didn't he say that just a few months ago? Go ahead and find that audio and find that story. Because I seem to remember him saying, I don't want to ban guns. What are you talking about? And everyone was at the time like, what do you mean you don't want to ban guns? You've said that multiple times, you liar. Did I make that up? I remember that. And of course, he's shouting over the reporters who are being like, why did you just do that? Well, because he's a narcissist.
An AK-47s. This 18-year-old who just turned 18 bought an AR-15 and took it into an elementary school and shot kids in the face and killed them. Why are we letting this happen in this country?
You don't sound passionate here. You sound like a crazy person who is desperate for attention, you ghoul. You do not sound like you're passionate here. You sound like you're putting on a performance. You sound like you're putting on a performance. And that's what this is. That's what this is. Nothing but a performance. And by the way, I didn't make this up. February 10th of 2022 this year. I'm not interested in taking anything from anyone. Yeah.
Why is this happening in this state? Year after year, city after city. This is on all of us if we do not do something. And I am going to do something. And I'm not alone.
No. You're not going to do anything but scream a political speech. That's all you're going to do. Because this isn't about the kids to you. This is about you. This is about your career, your political career. I refuse to believe that anyone, except for the most extreme partisans on the left, thought this came off well. Did this come off well to you as you're pulling the audio?
No, it seemed incredibly desperate and me, which Beto always does.
It is disturbing to me. I don't think it is inherently wrong when politicians react. They are supposed to. We look to them to react. But that was embarrassing. Except he has no shame, so you can't really truly be embarrassing to yourself. You can't embarrass yourself. And then, of course, you have Stephen Colbert last night, who's just the unfunniest comedian. Trump broke him, and then he decided, I'm going to become MSNBC. But let's listen to his advice.
But while we're at it, let's pray this time our leaders show a modicum of courage in trying to prevent this from ever happening again.
Because you know what? Up until this moment, they haven't been trying to prevent it. They've actually been encouraging it. They wanted this to happen yesterday. They wanted this to happen, right? That's what he's implying. That's what he's implying because he's arguing in bad faith.
But prayers won't end this. Voting might. So when you vote, ask yourself this question. Who, running for office, has publicly stated that they're willing to do anything and everything in their power to protect your children from the criminally insane number of guns in America?
Literally every single politician on both sides say they want to protect kids. The difference is policy. Your party, the Democrats, you guys are the ones who are choosing to release criminals from jail. You are the ones going easy. You are the ones who have decided in a very significant way, whether it's here in Washington with the attempt or in L.A. County, for example, with George Gascon, what did they get rid of for charging? Do you remember? Do you remember what the policy is in LA County and what the policy the Democrats are trying to impose here in Washington State or across the state? You know what that policy is? Have you ever heard of a gun enhancement charge? Do you know what that is? So someone gets caught by police doing some crime, and the crime is, let's say, an attempted rape. That comes with X amount of years if you are guilty. If you had a gun on you at the same time, you would get a prosecutor who wants to make sure you're never on the streets again, adding a gun charge, a gun enhancement. Democrats took that away in LA. They're trying to take it away here in Washington State, but this apparently is the party who wants to protect people from guns. Oh, okay, right. We're supposed to ignore your actual actions as a party that's currently in power. Got it. Thanks, Stephen Colbert. It's the Jason Rant Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show. We're live on AM 770 KTTH. Seattle Pacific University is at the center of a rather old controversy that's a little bit renewed. I think it is a sort of it's a contrived controversy. And it feels like we have these conversations pretty much every single year. SPU and their board of trustees just decided that they're going to maintain its employee conduct expectations. And what are those expectations? Ban on same-sex sexual activity. A ban on extramarital sexual activity. That means no sex until married. And no living with your partner until you're married. So on two of the three, you're out. You can't actually teach there.
Oh, darn. There goes my career.
Now, what they're doing here and what the controversy is really about is the ban on basically gay marriage and a ban on any gay relationship, any same-sex relationship. And they hold this position based on a religious belief. They are adhering to the beliefs of the Free Methodist Church. This is a religious private college. They have never hidden those details. Did you know that they were a religious college?
That I did know.
When
I was aware.
When did you find that out?
The second I heard about the institution.
It's everywhere. They don't hide that. They don't hide it at all.
It just is frustrating to care so deeply about a university and want to believe in it, but also not want anybody to have to come here and experience what we've experienced.
Okay, so those are conflicting feelings, right? On the one hand, I love this university. On the other hand, I don't want anyone to come here and be traumatized by a religious position that I happen to disagree with. That is a student, obviously, talking with King 5 TV. Did she not know what school she was attending? Did she not know that?
I'm sure she was familiar with
school. Are you sure? I don't know. She didn't know. It kind of sounds like she's confused here.
I mean, she's a college student, so
that part's
theoretically
fair.
Smart.
Fair right? enough. Now, the Board of Trustees put out a statement admitting, quote, sober acknowledgement of how this news will be received. The board acknowledges that there is a disagreement among faithful Christians on the topic of sexuality and identity.
We have surveyed students, we've polled students, we have found that most students disagree with these policies, and every year that is not respected or honored by a small group of people that get to decide what we stand for.
Yes, that's what they get to do. That's what they get to do. Now, not what you stand for. You can stand for whatever it is you want. And on this, I happen to agree with you in your position. But yes, a small group of people called the Board of Trustees get to make these decisions. That is their role. And if you don't like it, boy, you won't like Seattle, because it kind of feels like a small group of activists get to decide pretty much everything in the city. So I guess you shouldn't be all that concerned about what's going on at a private university in which is designed, it is set up for this very purpose. Now, the current employment policy that has existed for a very long time, that staff members sign into an agreement for, it requires that all faculty and all staff, quote, affirm SPU statement of faith On top of that, they have to abide by the conduct standards that are in the employee handbook. And that includes expectations around one's lifestyle, one's sexuality, private lifestyle expectations. Now, here we talk to or hear from an SPU employee who was hurt by the policy. Why? Because he was denied full-time status due to being gay.
That's when the announcement came that the reason why I was not was because I am not heterosexual. And that's when I just started to freeze and just started feeling sick to my stomach.
You felt sick to your stomach, even though you agreed to this before taking the job, probably with the expectation that, number one, it wouldn't actually be enforced, or number two, they wouldn't really care. They would change their mind because you would fight really hard against these policies. A position, again, I actually agree with you on. These are dumb policies. I would never agree to it, which is why I've never applied for a job at SPU. I understand that a religious organization can set these kinds of rules. I understand that. And the only reason we're having this real conversation that's as a controversy is because it happens to be a Methodist university. If, for example, this was a Muslim organization, a Muslim faith-based school, and they had the exact same issues, we would say, well, we disagree with it wholeheartedly, but we have to accept their religious traditions. We disagree, but we'd accept it. We knew what we were getting going in. And yet here we pretend otherwise. Now, I do find it funny that SPU is still trying to lean into the equity and the DE&I, the diversity, equity, and inclusion. They maintain their commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion for all undergraduate students, welcoming and supporting lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer students in all academic pursuits, faith, and practices, and life together in community. Oh, okay. Now, people are going to be pretending to be offended by this. Stupid people will claim that their religious interpretation is incorrect. I've seen some of those stories going around. Actually, here's what the Bible truly says about homosexuality. No, that's what you are providing the false interpretation. Again, I understand that not everyone agrees with this. I don't agree with it, but it is their right. And if you don't like it to the point where you are disturbed, why did you go to this school? Why did you choose to work at that school? You know what I don't particularly like? Rap music. Not a big fan. You know what I don't do? I don't attend rap concerts. You know what sport I don't like? It's actually not a sport. Golf. It is a game. And so you know what I don't do? Don't go down to the golf course and hit a couple balls, or a barrel, or whatever you do.
Or go watch events?
I don't do that.
You don't watch the PGA Tour on the weekends?
No, I do not.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense. I do not.
So wait, you...
So I make a choice based on
dislike something,
a value.
And so you just choose to ignore
it
or not participate in it.
How about that? I disagree that golf is entertaining. And so I choose not to watch it, or play it, or talk about it beyond just mocking it as a non-sport, really just a game.
Can you do that?
I just did.
Oh. That's easy.
Now, would I prefer that SPU change its policies? Yes. Do I care if they don't believe something I believe in? No, not really. It doesn't impact me. Oh, but it impacts other people. You should care. No. It only impacts people who choose it to impact them, right? The only people this impacts are the people who choose to be impacted by it. I choose not to be impacted by it. No one is forcing you to attend this particular school or work at this particular school. They didn't change rules after the fact. They didn't go and recruit a whole bunch of gay people to join the faculty and then after they sign their contract say, oh, by the way, we are implementing this new rule. I know you thought you guys would all be able to hook up with each other. No. We don't allow that. And you're stuck here for life. That's not what happened. So stop pretending that this is a controversy. I know yesterday there was supposed to be a walkout by staff or by students. I think there was a small walkout, but obviously the shooting in Texas took everyone's attention, rightly so. And maybe this dumb controversy will go away. Something tells me that it won't. because we are in woke Seattle. If you want to be able to live a life free from restrictions from a specific religious perspective, don't work for a religious institution that holds you to account. Or just lie and be all like, I don't hook up with, that's just my roommate. That's what people used to do a long time ago. Jason, this is your aunt's roommate. Yes, it's roommate Sarah. Mom, why are they holding hands? They're very close. I didn't make that up. That's a literal conversation. This is aunt, your aunt's roommate. This is your aunt's girl roommate. They room together. There's only one bedroom, Mom. Where does she sleep? This is literal conversations I've had. 1-800. It's true. Why are you giving me that look? You're looking at me like I'm making it up. I'm not. That was exactly, I was told that she was her roommate. It's like, man, they have been roommates for a long time.
Yeah, how long did you buy the roommate story?
I don't think I ever bought the roommate story. I'm like, I know I'm only 11, but we could all tell. We could all see. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send a text. 1-800-465-8770. Send me your text. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Let's talk about another contrived controversy. Some people are pretending to be offended by the new Ricky Gervais special. It's on Netflix. There's some people, I guess, who are truly offended. Either way, if we want to just be blunt, their feelings don't matter. Sorry. We have to stop pretending that they do. Now, their feelings matter to them. That's fine. And I'll certainly accept that someone has a feeling that I might not have, that I might not share. Okay. But you don't get to use your feelings, your reaction, to dictate any content that's out there. Sorry, you don't get to do that. The only thing that matters is whether or not we're going to let your feelings about comedy get in the way of actual artistic expression. I don't care you don't find it funny. I don't care you're pretending it's dangerous. Now, right now, they're not getting in the way of the expression of Ricky Gervais, and I don't think Netflix is going to cave. But again, this has the possibility and even the likelihood of impacting future expression. Things like this have a chilling effect. That's why it's important to focus on. That's why it's important to call out. You know, I look at the cover or the title of an AV Club article, which is where, you know, they used to be at the center of pop culture. Now they're where comedy dies. Now they're woke lunatics. This is the title of their story. Netflix is carving out a little niche for itself as the home of transphobic comedy. Transphobic comedy? You mean jokes about transgenderism? Is that what you mean? No, they actually mean transphobic comedy. Transphobic comedy. So if someone makes fun of a heterosexual in a joke, is that heterosexist comedy? If someone makes a joke at the expense of a white man, that's okay. But a joke at the expense, in your view, of a trans person is transphobic. By the way, the funny thing is, and we'll play some audio from it in a second, he doesn't make fun of transgender people. Now, if he did, and it was a funny joke, or even if it was a bad joke, my view wouldn't change. I might say, well, that's just not funny. He has the right to do it. It's just not a funny joke. But Ricky Gervais is hysterical. We live in a time in which we have some of the best comedians ever. They're not quite the same as far as the culture is concerned. They're not quite the same as Bruce Lenny, George Carlin, people like that. But we have Dave Chappelle, hysterical, brilliant.
Why'd you say George Carlin with such anti-enthusiasm? Because they
had, I'm saying they had a cultural influence at a time when we needed it. Now, Dave Chappelle, I would argue he probably does. I wouldn't say that about Ricky Gervais, not yet, although maybe comedy like this is doing it.
Yeah, you're right. The Chappelle Show is like Mozart, but yeah. Of present day.
So you're not supposed to talk about certain things anymore, according to the woke left. They have a whole list. You should never make a joke involving or about in any way, shape, or form any marginalized community. Never do that. So Ricky Gervais is all like, okay, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to make fun of the actual people who are presenting these nonsense ideas.
The old-fashioned women. Oh, God. You know, the ones with wombs. Oh.
That's funny.
Those f***ing dinosaurs. No, I love the new women. I know the new women. They're great, aren't they? You know, the new ones we've been seeing lately. The ones with beards and f***s. They're as good as... They're as good as gold. I love them. No, it's the old-fashioned with it. And now the old-fashioned, they go, oh, they want to use our toilets. Why shouldn't they use your toilets? For ladies. They are ladies. Look at their pronouns. What about this person isn't a lady? Well, his penis. Her penis, you f***ing bigot. What if he rapes me? What if she rapes you? You f***ing turf whore.
So you see what he's doing there? He's mocking the people who are pushing the idea that there's nothing controversial at all and that we should just accept the redefining of womanhood. Or really what this is the erasing of womanhood and then redefining it. This is absurd. GLAAD, which is the gay, lesbian, anti-something-something, they fight against bigotry. I can't even remember what they stand for anymore. They are pretty much irrelevant at this point, but they use instances like this to try to gain relevancy, and they called the special dangerous, and they say it consists of anti-trans rants. Don't take that out of context. Masquerading as jokes. No, they were jokes. They were jokes. You just didn't like them. They were jokes, and they were funny. Peyton was in there laughing hysterical. It was actually kind of embarrassing. We watched the Ricky Gervais comedy special on Netflix so you don't have to. No, I'm going to. I'm actually going to subscribe to Net only for a month to get this comedy special because I actually like Ricky Gervais. It's full of graphic, dangerous, anti-trans rants masquerading as jokes. He also spouts anti-gay rhetoric and spreads inaccurate information about HIV. I hope you're not going to Ricky Gervais for accurate information about anything related to health. I hope you don't do that. We prefer our comedy to be highbrow. We like Hannah Gadsby. I am actually offended by Hannah Gadsby. She is a feminist comedian. And everything in this rant, this set of jokes, just all offensive.
Do you know what should be the target of our jokes at the moment?
Oh, come on. This is going to be
good. Our obsession with reputation.
This is going to be a good one.
We're obsessed with it. We think reputation is more important than anything else, including humanity. And okay. Do you know who takes the mantle of this myopic
punchline.
Adulation
who?
Of reputation?
Here's the punchline.
Celebrities and comedians are not immune. They're all
still going. Okay,
the same cloth. Donald Trump,
funny story
Pablo
teller.
Picasso, uh-huh. Harvey Weinstein. Bill Cosby, Woody Allen, Roman Polanski.
No, I got it.
These men are not exceptions. They are the rule.
Is this
and they are not individuals.
Her stand-up?
They are our stories. And the moral of our
story
is we don't give a shit. We don't give a fuck about women or children.
This is
we
not
only care
a
about a man's reputation. What a...
I told you to pull from her stand-up.
That was her stand-up. She was standing while saying all of that.
That was her stand-up comedy act?
Yeah.
I mean, I could pretend to be offended by it, but we'd have to first find a joke. It's a Jason Rance show.